KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston, ESPN 97.5.
That's what we call ourselves, sort of like a team.
A Gao Media Station.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, sports mappers? Welcome to the fray. If you are a usual suspect, you've been listening for 2 hours already on ESPN 97.5, but now we are going to be simulcast on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1, which means the party just got bigger.
And it's perfect timing.
You know how we like to do things around here. We like to give back to you guys, the audience. We like to treat you because of the fact that you treat us so well. And from time to time, we have special surprises, and today is one of those days, Barry.
Yeah, I'm super excited about this. So yesterday, you had played for us and found audio of a Little League coach who, when he would bring his kids off the mound or go out to get the ball and do a pitching change, he had a little something fun and funny and interesting to say to him. So he heard and that we played it, and he was appreciative of that. And
let's be honest, he was listening from the start.
Yeah. So he but he sent us a link, and someone else sent me a link of another speech that he gave. So before we bring Scott in, I wanted you guys, because I don't think you guys have heard this yet, but I wanted you guys to hear his final pregame pep talk to his team before their last game of the season. Now this is how it started.
Okay. I want to make, this is our last night. Everyone understand, last game of the season, Aiden, eyes on me. Aiden, eyes on me. I want to make sure you guys remember what our goals are when we step on this field. Jackson with an X. What's one of our goals when we step on this field?
To do your best game.
Okay, not even close. Blaine with a Y. Blaine's not here. Blaine, did you get over that bloody nose you got? Okay, good. What's one of our goals when we step on this field?
We do our best and try to win.
I like the second half.
So the first one is to do our best. Not even close. Not even nope. I love that he has to say Jackson with an X.
Yep.
Blaine with a Y. All right, so that was the first part. He was trying to get them focused on what their goals are. So then he lets them, since nobody got the answer right, he gives them the goals. And these are their goals.
All right, listen. Our goals are to hit dingers. Everybody better have their eyes on me. Eyes on me, Ryland. Hit dingers. Disgrace the pitcher's family. Make the other families, other players cry and stomp their butts into the ground. Does everyone understand that? Does everybody understand that?
What great goals to have for Little Leaguers.
Hit dingers, live by.
Make the other pitcher's family. Disgrace the other pitcher's family. Make the other kids cry. Oh, God, this is the best. And this is how he ends it. So, you know, everybody puts their hands in and yells something, right? So this is how he ends the pep talk and before they take the field.
Look, there are two types of people in this world. There's two types of people in this world. There's winners and there's losers. And just so that we're clear, every time we step on this field, our goal is to be a winner. And if your dad has said, oh, it doesn't matter whether you win or lose, just as long as you have fun, well, I hate to say it, your dad's a loser. Okay? So let's get out, let's get our hands in. That team's pretty good, but we are gooder. So let's go gooder on three. Let's go gooder on three. Here we go. Hands in. Hands in. Hands in. Come on. Talk to your English teacher here. Gooder on three. One, two, three. Gooder.
He's stoked. Oh, my God. Speak to the level of your audience.
Gooder on three. I cannot believe that. It's so amazing. Joining us now on the program, Scott. I want to make sure I get this last name right. Scott Bergen.
Scott Bergen.
Scott, are you there?
You nailed it.
Dude,
Scott. Yeah, you nailed it.
Let me just start by saying you're my hero, Scott, because I think you're saying everything every coach on the planet would want to say to these kids.
Oh my God, I get that feedback a lot.
Now, I guess we just got to start from the beginning. First of all, tell everybody where you coach and how long have you been doing this?
I'm right up the road from you guys. I'm in Montgomery, Texas, just north of the Woodlands.
Okay.
And I've got two sons that started in Little League when they were 4 and 5 or 5 and 4. I've got an older son that's a senior in high school, and now my younger son that's entering seventh grade. But we've been cranking out baseball season after season since they were 4 or 5 years old. So I think I tallied it up a while back, and I think between the spring and fall, I think I've coached like 30-something teams, you know, and you feel like you've seen it all, and you haven't. But, yeah, we've been cranking it out for quite a while.
All right, Scott, so where did the idea come from? Where did you get this mentality, and how many parents want to kick your ass?
Okay, well, I have a buddy named Aaron Sparks who put that your dad's a loser speech. He kind of gave me the idea years ago. And I just kept it in my back pocket forever. And I guess I was kind of inspired. You guys have heard of Kent Murphy, probably.
Yeah.
If not, you got to look him up. But he's this hilarious kind of baseball guy that's on YouTube that used to put out funny videos. And I just decided to go for it one day and kind of give that speech. And it turned out, I thought it was pretty funny. It was also in an attempt, I mean, in all these years of coaching baseball, you run into maniacs. I mean, true lunatic when it at all costs coaches. I've seen fights and picking up bats and throwing them against the fence and t-ball games and cheating and craziness in machine pitch games. I mean, give me a break. So some of this stuff was in an attempt to make fun of those guys, you know? And that speech kind of sat around for a while. It wasn't doing much. Then a writer for the Washington Post came across it, and he did a little article on it, and it still kind of sat around. And then a small Facebook page called The Tournament Guy posted it about, I don't know, a year and a half or so ago. And overnight, it got like 10 million views, and it just went nuts.
That's insane.
And So, Everett, really, after I did that speech, we did a couple others that were just meant to be goofy. And in one of them, I called the opposing team fart sniffers.
And we're so childish, but that's hilarious.
Yeah, the parents of this other team, some of these parents took huge offense to it, said, in this day and age, I can't believe coaches are bullying people. And calling our poor kids fart sniffers, and I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not, but it was just a joke, you know. So after that, it was on, and I was like, I just tried to become play this maniac coach. There's several more other speeches out there, and I tried to portray this kind of maniac, win at all costs, lunatic coach.
Now,
that's what keeps it going. Honestly,
you have a lot on your YouTube, mail. Right?
What's that?
All of these are on your YouTube. Give your YouTube channel so people can go and see all of these different speeches that you have.
Yeah, if you just go to YouTube and look up, like, I think it's like S. Bergen 44, or just look at Scott Bergen, Bergin. It'll come up. But you know, after once I started getting these complaints, we started making quite a few others and just being obnoxious with it. If we're playing against the Angels at the end, we do our break it out on three and say, like, you know, Angels suck on three, and just to be horrible. But, and yeah, the hate mail, I mean, I get these little notifications on my phone every morning. I wake up to about 5 or 10 messages where they just can't stand me, want me dead. I think this morning there was one that said, "Everything wrong with America, courtesy of this moron." And it's just hilarious.
Nice
and I love it.
Dude, I love that you don't run from it. You actually, the more hate you get, the more you do it. I love that. That is fantastic.
It's what keeps it going. It's what keeps it going. And like, there is thousands and thousands of comments on these videos, and a lot of them are, you know, "I can't believe how horrible this person, they've accused me of." They're like, "These kids will become school shooters. This guy is Hitler." I mean, it's horrible, and I'm so tempted to respond, but I don't because, hey, it just keeps it going.
That is great.
So I just choose to laugh at it. It kind of creates three people, three groups. There's people that get the joke and think it's really funny. There's people that think I'm serious, and then I'm like, and they're like, hell yeah, coach, go get them, stomp them. And then there's the group that think I'm serious and they want me, you know, on death row. So, but it's been fun.
So aside from being a usual suspect and listening to the show every day, which we appreciate, the great thing was that how did you find, I mean, did you find out someone told you that we were talking about this yesterday? And because you reached out to us at the end of the show yesterday.
Yeah, I had a buddy that I was actually driving, or I was at a, I forget where I was somewhere out of pocket, and he called me and said, "Hey man, they're listening to the show," and it was funny because I they're playing your stuff on the show, and I let my son is the last kid in the mound visit video where the kid that I said, "Hey, at least your mom still loves you," that's my kid.
Now, do the kid? There's so many questions. The first question is, and I guess as well, it's a two part question. Do the kids? Did they know this? And how long did it take them to adjust? And the same about the parents.
That's what I was going to ask.
Were the parents okay with this? Did you have to explain what you were doing?
So when we were backing up a little bit, when we were doing some of these speeches, you know, obviously, like I would just kind of plan it and. I would hope to be able to pull it off before one of these. A lot of them were pregame speeches, and I would plan it. Say we had a game on Tuesday, I'd try and plan it, and then if we were running around with our heads chopped off, which we usually were, trying to get ready for the game, I didn't have time. Then I'd push it to the next week. So I never really knew it, but sometimes I'd put a message out to my parents and say, "Hey, I'm planning a speech. Make sure your kids are on time. I need them all there. Be there early. Whatever." Well, by the end of it, I mean, they would be like a small little audience, people with their phones, and they're like, "Oh, I can't wait. I love it. I'm out there hammering their kids, making fun of them." And they're like, "Make sure you make fun of my kid," you know, and there'd be a whole audience out there. And so they grew to where they kind of expected it and knew, and it kind of ruined it. Like some of it was fun because you kind of capture their innocence or, you know, in the moment, but by the end, they're all laughing when you're kind of saying some jokes about him. But with the mound visit, I did try to catch him off guard. So the first few games, I just went out there and would say something, and they did give me a look like, "What in the hell are you saying?" And then I would quickly tell him I'm kidding. Because, look, we're all about having fun on this team, and you know, we have a lot of fun. We compete. We're all about winning. But the main goal is just to create a lifelong passion for baseball and to have as much fun in doing that. And so, you know, those first few games, I tried to catch them off guard. Then eventually, as the season progressed, I said, "Look, I'm probably going to be saying some ridiculous things out there. If you feel tempted to laugh, you'll notice that some of the kids put their glove over their mouth." I was like, kind of hide your mouth. If you feel like you can't control your laughter, just cover it up. If you look close in some of the clips, I've got a little, like a cheap action cam attached to my neck. That's what I used to capture the audio. Originally, I was going to try to film their reactions, but it was just all kind of shaky and wobbly and stuff. So I just used the camera on the side, but
it is great, man.
Even in the end, when they knew it was fake, sometimes they were in the moment and they didn't care that they just didn't want to be joked with. And I was like, "Look, kid, you've got to get over it. I'm trying to make a funny video, you know."
Scott, it's amazing, man. We got to get to a break. Thank you so much for joining us.
This is hilarious.
I'm going to tweet out Scott's Twitter and a link to the clip we just played, and then you guys can like his YouTube channel and subscribe and get more of them. Scott,
well,
thanks again, man.
Your dad's a loser.
Appreciate you, Scott.
Thanks, Scott. There you go.
You're welcome. Thanks,
Scott Bergen, and he's a local guy. You got to love that. You heard it only here on The Usual Suspects. We'll be back with more right here, ESPN 97.5, Sports Map 94.1.
Then I didn't know if they sniffed their own parts or not. We'll be right back.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back, final hour of The Usual Suspects, knee-deep here on the show. As you know, we'll take you till 4, Blitz will take you till 7, simulcast on SportsBet 94.1 and ESPN 97.5. We appreciate you being along for the ride. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel, it's a Thursday. Lots of people chiming in both on Twitter and text message to say how much they loved Scott Bergen, the Little League coach. Fantastic. And by the way, the timing of it could not have been better when I got it yesterday because of the fact that with the Little League World Series going on, the Post-Oak Little Leaguers were involved. Everybody's more dialed into it. You know, the coaches are mic'd up during ESPN games and stuff like that. And then you see this and go, here's a funnier version of the mound visits and things you see on ESPN.
That was fantastic, and to hear the backstory about it,
makes
it even more enjoyable to watch. I was telling you guys, you know, those kids on that team to be able to take that and be part of it, and those are going to be the best and most well adjusted kids that come out of that little league. I don't know what the hell is it, the league itself. I mean, everybody, the coaches that take it too serious and get too serious.
Well, you and I were talking about it in the break. The fact of the matter is, kudos to the kids for one, but to the parents more so than that, because we hear so many stories of parents that want to fight referees and fight coaches and get too involved. And to people to have the kind of open-mindedness and the sense of humor to go along with this makes it all even better.
Yeah, Trevor G said that Little League coach is everything I dreamed to be as a youth baseball or basketball coach. If you want his info, by the way, I tweeted it out at Barry is funny if you're not following me. And I tweeted out his Twitter account and a link to the YouTube. And then you just watch that video and you can then subscribe to his YouTube channel because there's a lot more out there. So, of course, the text lines blew up about how funny he is and how awesome it was. But there's a text from 3363. So if your phone number ends in 3363, can I just have you call the show and give your opinion? Because that text, I'm not reading all those words. Bro, this is look at this. That dude wrote a book. That's the first part of the two-part text.
On what?
You understand that text should be like Twitter, 140 characters or less. I'm not reading all that.
But what's it about?
Urban Meyer. Just call the show if you have that big of an opinion, because I hate that you wasted all your time typing that. There's no way I'm going to try to trudge through and read all that. Somebody said, or Aggie Tim said, I got my wife and I some of your shirts, Barry. They're awesome. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you doing that. I'm glad you liked them. And Steelers fan Juan said that was a great segment. He's also been asking, like, 1,000 times he asks us about Le'Veon Bell and the Steelers and the line attitude.
And Roethlisberger. And
like, first of all, Juan, you realize we're not in Pittsburgh. No one else is really going to care about the attitude of the Pittsburgh Steelers because of the Le'Veon Bell issue. But I'll answer your question. They're all professionals and they're all getting paid. I don't think anyone is going to let what's going on with Bell affect how they perform on the field.
No, and again, they're not going to worry about it. Need I remind you, Juan, that last year he sat out the entire preseason and still killed it during the regular season. He's got a contract year coming up again if he does indeed make this a one-year deal with the Steelers and they can't reach a long-term solution. So he's going to make sure that his value is going to be up. He's going to be in tip-top shape. You got nothing to worry about.
Yeah. sorry, excuse me. I didn't get the cough button in time. Somebody said, I just watched one of his clips. He told a kid, I thought you said you were Dominican.
Oh, that's great.
Man, I love Jason Hebert's thought about making him our comedian of the week this week, because that would be a good idea. But I have something planned already. I already have it picked out.
Make the other family's other players cry and stomp their butts into the ground.
Miguel said he went on the channel and his best line was, dude, you better hope Trump doesn't start deporting lousy pitchers because you're the first to go. I wonder if he writes his own stuff or he has help.
It sounds like he writes his own stuff, but I guess his buddy said he punched one up for him for his buddy or whatever. So
he gave his buddy credit, but that guy's naturally funny. You can tell.
You can just tell.
You can tell he's fun.
Well, when he just said the line that I didn't know they were fart sniffers, I said, let's go beat those fart sniffers. And heck, I didn't know that they were fart sniffers.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
It's so funny to me. Oh, I'm glad that made my week. It doesn't matter what happens the rest of the week with you guys. That was outstanding.
I thought it was just us being here.
Oh, that's what it is.
I'm not here with you two losers tomorrow. I'm off.
Are you really off?
That's right. Because he's got to take the dog to Rover Oaks.
Yep.
Because they can't take the dog to make s'mores.
Yeah. By the way, I got that. She's all updated with her shots.
Yeah.
Oh.
This is going to cost me a little over $200 just to go on this camping trip. That's just how much dog hotels cost. So if you see a picture of my dog on dogebay.com, do not be surprised.
Plus shots.
That bitch is for sale. $250
for
a dog hotel.
How much 15
bucks.
Shots?
Only 15 bucks.
Oh, that's good. I thought they were more expensive.
So she hadn't didn't have all their shots. Well, I hope you wore a condom.
No, she was updated. She just wasn't updated for dog hotels. There's a different shot.
Really?
Different vaccine if you're going
to special shots just to take your
one
dog.
One special shot,
well,
yes.
Think about it, because in a lot of times that they have a playroom or whatever,
that's
the dogs
the
are in room the room with like 10, 15 other dogs.
I would let that dog go. Let that dog go. Now, this reminds me of something, though. A link in the rundown. A company is doing fraternity leave.
Leave.
Where if you get a new pet, they give you 2 weeks off.
No.
Joel would never be here.
It'd be awesome, but I get paid for it, too.
It would basically be the usual suspect. There would not be a suspects. Joel would be out all the time.
Never would I love my wife more. Bring home another. We got room. Off.
He would have Sean Salisbury's vacation schedule. He would never be here. Oh, my God. You guys both would be. But, yeah, it was some company is like, oh, yeah, if you get a new dog that you can have up to 2 weeks of fraternity leave. But they're not the first one. Somebody did a pawternity. You got to be kidding me. That's not right. But I would see both of you taking advantage
of it. Yeah, maybe I'm not going to get rid of my dog.
I come home
and crazy.
Lisa's in the kitchen. Babe, I'm really struggling. They're trying to rescue these two pups. Bring them home! We got room! Come on, they can sleep on my side of the bed. I'm good!
Joe would be like, is it 2 weeks per new dog? Because we just got 6 new dogs. I'll see y'all in the fall.
The stress we have trying to get him to eat and poop and then find a place
to
sleep.
Tell me this doesn't sound, I don't know, I don't want to say the P word, but the guy was like, I want to stay home and make sure that my new dog, it's very stressful for them, so I want to make sure they get adjusted. What? It's a dog, dumbass. The kennel and being a... Whatever, it's a dog. It's ridiculous.
It was all going well until Barry got anti-animal on us.
Ugh, stupid.
All right, we're going to continue to roll. Take a quick break. Come back with a whole lot more. It is The Usual Suspects. ESPN 97.5, SportsMap 94.1. The truck go miss 550 snow bunny.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back on The Usual Suspects. Final half hour of the show. Appreciate you being along for the ride. Do want to tell y'all how we play the name game every single day. Here on the station, therefore, you always realize you have a chance to win. How we do this is we call two names. If one of those is your name, you try and be the first caller, and you identify yourself, and the winner of today's prize gets a $90 gift card to Chewy's. Good for a dinner for four. Enjoy the annual Green Chili Fest at Chewy's until September the 2nd. Four new menu items, including the frozen watermelon margarita. Celebrate at one of the 9 Houston area locations or drop in for happy hour every Monday through Friday, 4 to 7 p.m. We are not the show that's giving it away today, but there's hope because we haven't given it away today. That means listen to the Blitz. I'll give you a little pro tip here. Listen to them at about 6:30 for the next opportunity to win on the name game. Good luck.
Looky, looky. Look what I have in front of my face. Barry Laminack's laptop. Because
And guess what I have in front of mine?
And his phone?
All yours.
Right. I Love Penis. Published. Yeah. Barry Laminack's Facebook. Check it out.
Yeah.
Where's your Twitter account? How do I get to your Twitter account?
Barry's going to explain.
He'll laptop
you
in front of me, too.
It's going to be Twitter wars right now.
What kind of game of chicken do you want to play
love
with
penis.
Me?
Penis. Tweet. At Barry is funny. Done.
Someone on Twitter.
I'm going to quote tweet that and say, not as much as I do.
Someone just put,
this someone is already just a disaster. You behind the board is already a disaster.
What are you talking about?
Why are you in? Why are you producing the show right now? Why are you doing my job?
Because Joel crapped his pants. No, at the break.
It does smell like ass.
It's fantastic.
Smells like ass.
I just figured it out. I was sitting here. I was going, you know, I'll leave the room. I go, no, you know what? AJ burps all the time. I might as well let one fly. So I lifted the cheek and Barry went, no!
Hey, did your tweet get a reply?
Nope. I love sniffing farts. Tweet. Sent.
Okay.
Someone texted in, new dog, 2 weeks off. Nick calls that a honeymoon. Oh, I love our listeners.
And the best thing, are you sure you're not getting any tweets from your account?
I'm not looking, to be honest with you. Hold on, let me look at my Twitter.
How do you work the TV in here?
Like I'm going to tell you.
Because I want to make sure it gets your gut cam. How do you operate with this raggedy-ass microphone?
I don't know.
It doesn't...
Not as much.
It's like...
You've never sounded better.
It's old. Your microphone needs some Viagra. It's sagging in here.
I feel so weird sitting here.
I know.
Seat.
This feels weird to me.
Can we switch?
Yeah, let's do
all
it.
All right, let's do that.
Does it still smell in there?
I mean, yeah.
Oh,
it
man.
It does not.
Well, that's because you're used to it. That's what happens.
Probably right.
You know how, like, you ever done that where you're, like, on an elevator or on the bus and you fart and then you think that it's gone and then because you're used to it and then someone walks in and they're like, what is that? Oh, my God. And you're like, damn it, that didn't
Barry,
go away.
We both have wives with sensitive sniffers. We've talked about this.
That's true.
There's no doubt about it.
You know what?
It.
I got to fart.
But it's great that it's great to have dogs.
I got
to
go.
Because no matter what happens, Lisa's going to blame the dogs first.
Oh, he really farted that nasty.
He did, because he's in here rolling on you right now.
That's what you get.
He just grabbed a sweatshirt.
Oh, my God.
And he's fanning the production room.
Oh. That's what you get.
Meanwhile, Kelly is in there
Kelly
and
Eco's
has
like,
no
I'm
idea.
Out.
Kelly Eco's just I'm soaking leaving. It all in.
Oh, that's what you get. See, now this has turned into fart wars.
Both of you are disgusting. That's the reason why I took off on Friday.
Well, bye.
Oh, he did get you, though.
What? On the tweets? Did you not see I quote tweeted
him? Yes, I did.
It said not as much as I do.
I should have grabbed my laptop times. When I walked in there.
Yeah, that wasn't smart. That
yeah,
wasn't smart
at
all.
Yeah, but I put nasal congestion on Barry's phone.
Although I do have a lot more followers than you, so this isn't good. All of my followers are like, what? What is going on right now? Thanks a lot. Now I'm going to have to delete this. Thank God I can.
Retweet from ESPN, Sports Map, and SB Nation Radio.
I can assure you that this will not be the last time I do that based on this fantastic response.
Man, don't ever do that again.
Oh, this is good fun.
You can never have Subway again. It does not agree with you.
I don't
you.
Think it was the Subway,
or
Chief.
Wear a diaper.
No, you know what it was?
One of the two.
Last night.
What'd you have?
Lisa made tacos with beans.
Oh
yeah.
That'll do
They're good.
That will do it.
But they're better the second time around, if you know what I'm saying.
That'll do it, boy.
Got it.
Good times. Good times.
Oh, speaking of good times.
Oh no.
Cue ball. Was this 2 days in a row?
Yeah, it is.
Cue Deezy, what's up?
Hey guys, how's it going? Hey, first of all, let me say this is a serious call. I didn't catch all of y'all's show, but I caught the beginning of it. And let me just say that I don't support Urban Meyer or Ohio State, but I think you guys are portraying Urban Meyer to be a horrible person because just for the simple fact that he didn't report what a guy does on his personal life. The guy you guys should be crucifying up there is Zach Smith. You know, he's the guy that was beating his wife. I mean, you guys make it seem as though Urban Meyer was holding this guy's wife down while he beat the crap out of her. I don't understand why you guys are making it seem like it's Urban Meyer's responsibility to report what other people do in their personal lives. As you mentioned earlier, I didn't get to hear the part where I think Joel asked you a question about domestic violence, and you mentioned that's not your level of expertise. Neither is it Urban Meyer's. He's a football coach. You know, his level of expertise isn't domestic violence, so he just passed it on up.
Q, let me stop you. Hold on. Let me stop you right there because Joel asked me or asked a specific question about how to handle someone who has been a victim of domestic violence and not being trained in that, right. I'm not going to answer that. But that's a lot different than having an opinion on somebody that would knowingly cover up domestic violence if that were to be true. Two completely different things. So your point, not valid. Continue. You there?
And I'm not saying Joel does this, but if Lisa came and told you, hey, Joel was doing drugs, would you turn around and run and go tell Mr. Galley Joel's doing drugs?
No, because that doesn't affect anybody
but Joel.
Exactly,
because that's his personal life. But it's still against the law. That's his personal life, and it's against the law. I'll hang up and listen to you guys.
That makes no sense.
Here's the one thing I want to ask. You're talking about the responsibility. That question was actually specifically asked to Urban Meyer at the press conference. And the question was, what is your responsibility as a head coach at Ohio State? And his response was what? The behavior of everybody in that program.
Inevitably,
because when you hire that person, you put your name on it.
Yep.
Okay.
He gave the exact number too, but he said, inevitably, I am responsible for everybody in my program. And, of course, then he said, I mean, that's impossible to do. But
No Cap 86 on Twitter goes, yeah, Q beats his wife.
Oh, God.
The thing is, Q, I think I understand the point that you're making, but the problem is the examples that you give aren't relatable. You can't say that if Joel has a drug problem, do I snitch to David Gow? If David Gow has drug testing, then they're going to find out eventually. I mean, that's not there's a difference between Joel harming himself and harming someone else. If Lisa confides in me that Joel is beating her, then I'm going to absolutely step in or say something or do something. But Joel's harming himself if he's doing drugs.
Right. If you can prevent further harm to someone.
Yeah.
It behooves you to step in and do something to prevent it.
Yep.
Plain and simple.
And Barry didn't hire Joel. Joel didn't hire Barry.
And we don't work for each other.
It's a different dynamic. And I think that's the biggest point that you're missing. When you hire somebody, you're responsible for the staff, their behavior, how they coach, how they perform. There's a million and one reasons why you can get fired. Not just performance on the field. It's how you behave.
And take it even a step further, which we mentioned earlier, which is, if you hired him in one location where you had a job.
And he has the history.
And he has a history of domestic violence and all the things that he brought with him. And then you bring him to your new job. Don't tell your new employer and expect everything to be okay. That's a problem.
Yeah.
It's what they call a red flag, Q. That's not a good look. So
and a pattern.
Yeah, no question. All right, we're rolling through the final half hour of the show. We have one segment left to go, so we don't want you to go anywhere. We'll wrap it up when we get a chance and to put a bow on it, give it over to the Blitz
but
next.
But before we do that, can I tell the people about Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen? Because I love this place, and I want the people out there that haven't gone yet. Now, a lot of you have, by the way. Thank you for going and giving it a try. And I've enjoyed the feedback because a lot of people even tell me, I feel like you hyped it up too much. I feel like you made it sound better than it was going to be. And everybody has gotten back to me and said, dude, it was as good or better than you made it out to be. And I think you guys are going to find the same. Get out there. 1901 Taft in Midtown is where they're located. Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen has an absolutely amazing and diverse menu for everybody that you're hanging out with, that's in the family, that you want to take on a date. There's something for everybody, whether you're wanting to eat healthy, which I've done there. I've got some grilled chicken and green beans and rice, and you can eat healthy that way. Or you can just be as bad as you want to be, get some red velvet cake, eat one of the best burgers in the city. It's called the Himalayan Heat Burger. Try it sometime and tell me you don't absolutely love that burger. But all the food is amazing. The Indian food, some of the best you'll have in the city. They're known for their butter chicken. And what I love is that all the recipes come from Haas's family. And so they've been passed down over generations and perfected right there in the Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen itself. In fact, Haas even talks about sometimes his mom, his aunts, they'll help out. They'll make some of the food when available. And that's when you know it's authentic. That's when you know it's delicious, man. Everything made from scratch. When they can, they locally source the food as well. So some of the beef that you're eating, locally sourced beef right here in Texas that they get their hands on. And again, everything made fresh, made from scratch when you order it, not sitting around. And not a lot of that, you know, food that you can get at any restaurant where they all order from the same spot. That's not the case with Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. Don't forget they got a full-service bar. Don't forget that they have TVs. You can watch the game. And if you want to, you can have it delivered via DoorDash, Uber Eats, or Grubhub. 1901 Taft in Midtown, CNI713 on Facebook. Make sure you take your taste buds on a delicious journey around the world. It's Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen, y'all. There's nothing like it.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final segment of the show. We have had a lot of fun today. Glad, glad you've been along for the ride. Take it. What the hell?
Welcome back to the show. 95 in the rear, whatever. I don't know. We've got one segment left, and we've got a plethora of things to get to. Real quick, if you missed any of the show, you can go to podcastarena.com and download the show. We had a fun show today. I think we were talking at the break how much fun it's been. So, Nick, if you missed it also in the previous segment or the segment before that, got a hold of my laptop and tweeted out, "I love penis," from my Twitter account. Which has now been retweeted 6 times already. And the responses have been pretty funny, though. I'll just read them in order. "It all makes sense now. Retweet the hell out of it. Well, if I got a deal for you." And peanut butter was a response. I don't know what that is. And pretty sure no one is shocked was a response to my tweet that Nick so kindly put out there. So, also, if you missed it, Nick is not here tomorrow, so we can look forward to that.
Tyler's filling in.
Tyler will be here. Okay. And then you had something you wanted to get to about.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but we always say you got to be careful what you tweet and think about it before you press send and all that other stuff. So, there's this chick that tweets out, "Everyone shut the F up. I got accepted for a NASA internship." To which a gentleman by the name of Homer Hickman just responds with one word. He puts "language." She responds, "Suck my D and B's. I'm working at NASA." He responds, "And I'm the National Space Council that oversees NASA." Needless to say, her internship was revoked.
Wow. You think you're like the bee's knees. You're just like, yeah, no one can tell me nothing. Oops. That would be something that would happen to me too, by the way. That would be my luck, is that the one person you wouldn't want to see that would see it and respond, and then I'd pop off and have something smart to say and lose it.
Okay, so here...
That's hilarious.
So Homer Hickman, the guy who said language, recently it was called to my attention on Twitter. Someone was being hired by NASA and they were using the F word in a tweet about it. I'm a Vietnam vet and not at all offended by the F word. However, when I saw NASA and the word used together, it occurred to me that this young person might get in trouble if NASA saw it. So I tweeted to her one word, "language," and intended to leave it at that. Soon her friends took umbrage and said a lot of unkind things, but long after I was gone, as I immediately deleted my comments and blocked all concerned. Later, I learned she had lost her offer for an internship with NASA. This I had nothing to do with, nor could I, because I do not hire and fire at the agency or have any say on employment. Aww. As it turned out, it was due to NASA's hashtag on her tweet and her friends hashtagging NASA that was used to call her out. The agency was brought the attention was brought to it by the agency.
Wow.
And they
so basically she shot herself in the foot. He didn't do it. Her and her friends are dumb. They don't know how.
She reached out and apologized. "I accepted the apology, but after talking to her, I'm certain she deserves a position in the aerospace industry, and I'm doing all I can to help her with her next opportunity."
Yeah. That sucks. Okay. I wanted it to be what... You should have just left all that out. That sucks. Now we know she's getting the job back, and there's no happy ending.
Yeah, but that's a hard skill to...
There's no happy ending, though. Like, the happy ending is she says,
Homer then asked Naomi on a date. They've accepted, and it looks like things are going well.
There you go.
There's your happy ending.
Now,
that's not true, by the way.
I know.
I just want to tell the listeners.
Before Nick leaves, I just wanted to get his thoughts on this article. Three men are facing 1,460 charges for allegedly having sex with farm animals.
I saw that. And I immediately thought of your farm.
Well,
and your bobcats.
You need a place to escape, right?
How do you get away with it 1,400 times?
Well, they filmed themselves, didn't they?
Yeah, it said, apparently.
You're documenting this.
A 16-year-old boy told the police that the three suspects were having sex with dogs, horses, a cow, and a goat. Okay, now, before I continue, a horse? Boy, you're playing in the big leagues if you're trying to have sex with a horse. You, this is not a ball. This is
What do you mean if you're playing in the big leagues?
Bro, have you seen a horse's penis?
Jeez.
And then you gotta go get a ladder if you're gonna trying to be.
Nick's like, yeah, good thought. I better stick to dogs.
No, I'm just saying. This is so weird.
Okay, a dog, a cat, a goat even, those are manageable. A cow?
They're manageable?
Yeah.
Okay, that's being isolated.
No.
You mean they're how are they manageable? Please explain that. Expand.
Because they're animals that you can control.
When doing what?
What the topic is. But a horse and a cow? A cow? By the way, these are white guys. As if anyone had a question or a doubt.
I wasn't going to say that.
These are three white dudes. There's no doubt that it would be three white dudes. But yeah, they're swimming in the deep end going after a horse and a cow. That's ridiculous. They were charged with child endangerment, corruption of minors, as well as 1,400 counts of sexual intercourse with animals. They also were issued animal cruelty citations. This is in Pennsylvania, by the way.
But it's a real thing.
I thought you were going to say Florida or something like this.
No, College Station. No, don't. That was inappropriate.
College Station.
That was inappropriate.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so I just, you know, all I'm saying is, Nick, look out. I don't want you to get arrested.
Of the 1,460, Nick, at least half happened while camping.
No, it did not. It didn't say any of that in the story. Shut up.
Did he buy?
Nick, we're going to miss you tomorrow, bud. We'll see you on Monday.
See you Monday.
Yeah, travel safe and enjoy your trip.
Yeah, sure. Enjoy Rover Monday. Oaks. Okay, so we'll be back tomorrow for an FEF Friday. Barry's going to have a comedian. We're going to have a good show. Hopefully you'll be along for the ride. It's the usual suspects. We appreciate you guys. For Nick, for Barry, I'm Joel. Have a great night, everybody.
Then I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.